live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, GEICO, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Jaguars Victory Monday underway from the HananiahAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco is with us from CBS Sports Studios down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We'll get to your calls in the second hour tonight. The Jaguars win 17-16 over the Chicago Bears in Week 6. How in the heck did it happen?
Never a doubt, baby. Never.
Not so sure I'll ever know, but
never
it happened.
A doubt. Ask Joe. We were in the booths, and we got this thing.
At 13-0 entering the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
You had it.
Had it. I said victory.
You call that was your stone cold lock that they do a kneel down at the
I
end, by the way.
Too.
And they were darn close.
Gosh,
the
close.
Slide, does that that doesn't count.
I think that is a victory kneel down because he just kind of
no, it isn't.
Took a knee.
No, it isn't. Can't take credit for it.
It was close, OP. Dang it. I needed one first down. I had it. But
what a win, though. Jags down 13-0 entering the fourth. They pounded in for the touchdown there, and then things go back and forth. The offense disappeared, hibernated, if you will, for a lot of this ball game. Couldn't do anything. The defense stood tall again when it needed to, and we've talked about it earlier. Throughout this season so far, there's moments late in games where the defense, they need to get off the field, and they do. And they did it again yesterday on that right after the Bortles fumble. It's point-blank range. If they score a touchdown, the game's over. They held them to a field goal there, and I thought that was a big part of the game.
Well, the offense was outstanding the first drive.
Oh, fantastic.
And then it was the worst offense I've seen in a long time for two quarters. And then somehow in the fourth quarter, I think Blake threw for like 140 yards or something like that in the fourth quarter, or 133. It was some big number.
It was a lot, yep.
And they woke up. They came back. Between that, it was awful. It was awful to watch the first time. It was not fun to watch the second time. It was bad. There's no – and I'll say this. As a player, if I was in that game and watching that, I'd have been embarrassed. And trust me, I had games where it didn't go well as an offense, and you watch that film, and you're like, oh, my gosh, Sometimes I would close my eyes. I'd be in the front, and I just closed my eyes because I didn't want to watch it again as we're getting yelled at or getting critiqued or whatever it was.
So, Tony, no coincidence to the fact that they stunk in the second and third quarter and they ran on six of their eight first down plays in those two quarters?
Listen, Pete, they're not.
Yes.
They're not running the ball well. I don't disagree with that. I don't think they are built or can just open it up and throw it around the yard 50 times. It's not who they can be.
Not 50. 35 and a lot of it on first down.
Pete, that's what they did. They ran.
They only threw it first down.
Pete, they only ran it 17 times.
And they ran it on six of their eight first down runs and first down plays in the second and third quarter.
Okay, so if your complaint
that's
is.
That's what stymied their offense.
No, it's not what's stymied their offense, Pete. That is not what stymied their offense. What stymied their offense was bad technique, missed assignments, and bad throws. And bad decisions. That's what stymied their offense. Here's a perfect example. You hold on for a second. And the first drive of the second half, they get up there. They run on first down. They get three or two. Second down, they call a slant that is poorly thrown, that's wide open, that's poorly thrown behind Allen Robinson, and he tries to make a catch, drops it. Third and eight. A skinny post to Julius Thomas, who is wide open. Blake sails it over his head by 5 yards. That's play calling, Pete? That's not being open enough? If you hit one of those throws, it's first and 10, and you move the chains, and who knows what happens.
So the execution was significantly better in the fourth quarter.
Yes. If you go watch it, Pete, all 22, the first drive, Jeff said it on the radio, and I agreed. Blake was in a rhythm. On time, hitting guys in stride, throwing the ball great. Fourth quarter, he made big-time throws. Deep out routes to Julius Thomas, on time, on target, moving in the pocket, great throws. Between those two fourth quarter in the first drive, at times he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I don't know what happened. I have zero explanation for it. But to sit here and say that it's because they went, they opened it up, or they, you know, did this, or they changed what they were doing. No. They played better. They executed better. They threw the ball. They blocked people. They protected. They picked up the blitz. They caught the ball. It's execution.
All right. So you just said the opening drive, he was on time. He was in rhythm, right?
Yep.
And he looked good. Right. So they don't get the ball back again until the second quarter, right?
Right.
So what do they do on the first down run in the second quarter? First down play.
Stand by. I can get to that.
I don't know. I don't have it.
They run Chris Ivory for 3 yards. So then what happens? Then they get a hold and move it back 10 yards, and they run Chris Ivory again for a yard.
Yeah,
so now you're in second and 19.
I didn't love the second down call. But now, in fairness, on second and 19, they threw a ball for 14 yards and had third and five.
And then he threw it complete to Julius Thomas.
Yeah, he had pressure and bad throw.
Right.
So they're in third and five, Pete.
Yeah, third and four is ideal, right?
So your whole argument is off there, but that's okay.
No,
go ahead.
Not.
Yes, it is. They are third and four after a penalty that put him back at first and 20.
Right, but why did they run on second? Why did they run on second down?
Oh,
on the first down run from first and 20. That's a bad play. Okay, then you get the ball back again. He throws it completely.
I would have thrown it.
Then you get the ball back again, right? In the next drive, and since that running game is so powerful, they decided to run it again on first.
Pete, did you see the passing game? It wasn't like it was great either.
Because he's a rhythm passer
that
isn't allowed to get into a rhythm.
Okay.
How do you get him in a rhythm?
You don't believe that.
How do you get him in the rhythm?
You play faster.
Pete just wants to just come out and throw the ball 50 times. This team's not built to do that.
No, not throw the ball 50 times. Why? Wait, let me just ask you this, Tony. Why is that team not built to throw it 50 times? Is that on the quarterback?
I don't think that's the way they are built to win right now. And I don't think.
What?
Tell
me what's
the team.
What's the strength of the team?
Hold on. No, it's right now the defense.
Oh, well, the defense play well, but on offense,
what's
the strength of
the
offense?
No, the defense is
the
strength of the team.
What's the strength of the offense?
You would have to say right now the young receivers, outside receivers.
Well, they don't. Why not get on the ball and play up tempo and play fast and spread them out and dictate tempo?
How many teams in the NFL right now are top teams that play up tempo fast?
Atlanta. New England when they want to.
Okay, but they don't.
Pittsburgh.
The first one, Atlanta, I'm not sold on, but they played well against Seattle. Got to tip their hats.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, I agree. But they run the ball quite a bit with Le'Veon Bell.
I mean,
New Orleans, they stink, Pete.
New Orleans is bad.
They stink.
But they play up tempo.
I said good teams.
So
they stink.
Who's good that doesn't play up tempo?
Who's good that doesn't play up tempo? Buffalo right now, they're 4-2. Seattle.
Oh, come on, Tony.
Wait a second.
Not any good.
Okay, they're 4-2. Seattle.
Seattle will play fast now and then and spread them out. They play. They have a lot of.
So do we, Pete. We don't have a fullback either. You're not making sense, is my whole point. Denver, they don't speed it up.
No, but they're great on defense. Is Jacksonville great on? They're good.
Kansas
on defense.
City, Oakland,
they're good teams.
I'm just giving you a team with winning records. You live in this world that you want to play arena football, and one does that.
I don't want to play arena football. I just don't think you can be so predictable, and they're predictable, with a capital P. And you know what? I bet your fans agree with me. And I'm not sitting here saying Bortles the end-all, be-all, because he's not playing very well either. I think his mechanics are way, way wild and off, and his wind-up is
Pete,
terrible.
I get so tired of people like you and the fans saying they're predictable. Because when the plays work, no one ever says they're predictable.
If Mercedes catches the ball in the end zone,
they don't
– first drive?
I still would have disagreed with it because I disagreed with it before they ever called it. So
that was a terrible call to goal line.
I would disagree with it no matter what.
But if they throw to a tackle.
But my point is saying that is – and I'll go back to when I played. I can't tell you, after we would lose, they are so predictable. Running that first down, they're so predictable. And then we'd win. Dynamic. What a great offense. Jimmy, Keenan, Fred.
Exotic smash mouth. Yeah.
We'd lose. Yeah. Predictable. I mean, that's what fans – you sound like a fan, Pete. And I love our fans.
I'm not a fan. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to you. If it matters so much to you, you should want to play up tempo.
I don't think –
Blake came out and said he plays better, faster.
Can you explain? just so I make sure we're saying, what is up-tempo to you? Explain what that offense looks like to be up-tempo.
Go no huddle.
So you want to go hold no huddle the whole game?
Not the whole game, but sometimes.
I agree with that.
And don't run the ball on every first down play over a two-quarter span, which is what they did 6 of 8 times.
So if your quarterback's struggling,
and hold on.
If your quarterback's struggling, missing wide open guys, just keep on throwing it, right?
Did he struggle on the opening drive?
No, but the next drive he did, Pete.
Because they came out and they decided they were going to do something they shouldn't have done.
Pete, they ran the ball in the first drive too, you moron. It's not like they said, we throw it every down. They ran the ball in the first drive, Pete. Come on. You're not making any sense.
First down, deep right to Allen Robinson. First down, Bortles, short left to Marquise Lee, 18 and 14 yards. This is the first drive, okay? Bortles, incomplete, deep middle. Then Bortles, pass deep right. Allen Hurns, 4 yards. These are the first down plays.
Deep right, 4 yards.
First and goal. Then he got down on the goal line and ran Ivory on first and goal from the 5, and then so went the drive.
Deep right, 4 yards?
I didn't say deep right. I said –
No, you did. Yeah, you did.
But the point is, the first three first down plays they ran –
They ran, Pete. Sorry, they ran your whole Ivory narrative. I know. Come on, make up stuff because it'll fit your narrative.
I'll give you all the first down plays on the first drive. Bortles deep right to Robinson for 18. Bortles pass short left to Marquise Lee for 14. Ivory for 9. Okay, so they did run the ball. Bortles incomplete. Then Bortles short right to Hurns for 4 yards. Then Ivory right guard for 4 yards. Three out of five they threw it.
I was going to say 2 out of 5 they ran it. So you're saying – So that's 2 out of 5. So 2 out of 5. That's 40%, right?
No, I'm correct. You're right. They ran it 3 times and threw it 3 times.
Yeah. Okay. So that's 50.
3 and 3.
So 50% of the times they ran it, and 50% they threw it. And then they for two quarters. For 2 quarters, then they went 6 and 8. So if they would have run it 1 or 2 times less times, that would have fixed everything. They would have been smoking hot.
I'm just asking the question because this is your
argument.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll go talk to Greg Olsen because I actually just saw him. I'm going to say, listen, I figured out the problems with the offense. I figured it all out. Right now, if you'll just call one less run or maybe two over the course of the game
on first down,
that's it. Everything solved. We'll be scoring 30 a ding. Done.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, Pete.
And by the way,
you
the
don't
first
even
down
believe
pl-
that. You just got stuck in your argument. You had nowhere to go.
No, the first down pass play went to Robinson for 18. The next run on first down went for 1. Then the first down pass play went to Marquise Lee for 14. Then they did get a 9-yard run.
You're not allowed to run. No. I think they should just never. They should make a rule. You can't run it on first down in the NFL. It's Pete.
You know what?
Pete likes
that might be coming.
Tom Brady did that. Used to do that when he had to.
Yeah, no, it's arena football.
Buffalo.
Arena football.
I'm not saying Blake Bortles is Tom Brady, but Blake Bortles plays differently when he's allowed to play up tempo and he's looser and freer. And you don't see that, Tony.
I said it on the broadcast yesterday. I would change the pace up every once in a while. Absolutely, I think it's a good part of the game plan. I think every team should have a hurry up game plan that they go up and change the pace on a team. I think your whole narrative that somehow if you call one or two more runs on first down, that's going to fix everything.
Not
when you miss wide open guys and you don't block the point of the attack and you have missed assignments, how is calling an extra 2 runs going to fix anything?
Because
so you'll have missed assignments on those plays?
They did.
I'm done.
I guess they didn't have missed assignments on the 18-yarder.
We'll come back in a moment.
He's a baby tonight.
He doesn't like it.
He's got his
teal-colored glasses on tonight is what's happening. And his Aurelius Ben jersey on. We'll come back and continue this discussion about Blake Bortles and the Jags offense. We'll get to defense coming up. They had a good day, too. And your calls coming up in the second hour. Tickets available for Sunday's game against the Oakland Raiders. Good battle of teams with young talent. Carr, Cooper, Mack for the Raiders. Bortles, the Allens, Fowler, Jack Ramsey. For the Jaguars, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
okay. This is okay. This is what we're talking about, man. Maybe we're the F growing up, man. Maybe we're growing up. That's awesome. I told you, man, where it came from at halftime. It comes from love. That's where it comes. Don't forget that. It comes from that place. But damn, we ain't gonna let us play like that. We are not gonna let us play like that, ever. We got a high standard. I'm talking to you guys about this legacy. I'm talking about it's under your control, and you take ownership. Now, we got some things to get corrected. We could have even played better. But let me tell you something, man. That's a hell of a effing job.
There's your head coach, Gus Bradley, in the locker room at Soldier Field, courtesy of Jaguars.com. Check it out on the team website. Jags win 17-16. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. We got a few minutes here to wrap up this offensive discussion, and then we got to go to defense because there's a lot on defensive side, especially Jalen Ramsey, too. We'll do that next segment coming up. But you guys were hot and heavy there for a second on offense. And
well, my frustration is I don't understand how changing one or two plays is going to make a difference when you're looking at an overall game. Because the reality is you got to execute. And I was taught from the time I played here, from a guy that Pete once told me was one of the most respected offensive guys' minds for a long time, in Tom Coughlin. Am I wrong about that, Pete?
No, he's one of the best.
One of the best. When you get 11 personnel and they give you a weak box, which is six in the box, two high safeties, you run the ball. We used to have a package. It was a run pass check. Get in the huddle. We'd have our 11 personnel, three wides. We'd get up. It would be a check with me. If they gave us six in the box, we were running it. If they gave us seven in the box, we were passing it. Meaning, if you had a single high safety, we're throwing it. If you get two high safety, split safety look, we're going to run it. They were getting split high safety looks for most of the day, is what Chicago runs. Six in the box, you should be able to run the ball into that. It's a hard defense. It's much harder to throw. Chicago was 12th in the NFL in pass defense. Because they're not great personnel-wise, but they play coverage to cover up their inadequacies. And you got to run the ball. And they didn't execute. I'm not saying that Greg and the coaching staff can't do a better job, and I'm not putting it on the players. But the majority every Sunday is. And across the league, not just here, we get paid to play the game as players. And so for Pete to come on and say, I need to, open it up, or Frank, whoever it is. I'm not saying just Pete, but he's on the show right now. And that's going to fix everything. I agree with change of pace. I think that's good. But calling one or two or three less runs on first down is not going to change it. If they're giving you six in the box, which is called a weak box, you got to run the ball.
And Peyton Manning made a living running
and
against
weak
boxes.
That's what they did. Exactly right.
I understand. I understand that. But why? Here's another question then. Why is the box weak?
That's what Chicago does. This was really the first time they got that this much, to be honest with you.
But, I mean, then there should be opportunities you said run the ball. I get it.
Yeah.
They're not a good running team, so that's a problem.
It is a problem. It's a big problem, Pete. I'm not saying – I don't think they want to play like Seattle. That's not – they want to run the ball, though, to take some pressure off the young quarterback and to make things easier for him in the pass game. And you know this. It's hard to throw against a two-high safety look, especially if they're playing two-man.
And I haven't watched the 22, but what defense were the Bears in the fourth quarter?
Well, the same thing. At that point, they were in desperation. They had to throw it. And I'm not saying you
can't. And it worked.
I'm not saying that I don't want to be a 50-50 run-pass team. It's not what I'm saying. 35.
What do you want to be, 65-35?
Yeah, 35-40% run, depending on the day.
I'm okay, 65-35.
Yeah, and if
it's
and
not
if you,
so much.
And if you're pounding, if you're really running well, then you get up to 40, or maybe it goes higher. But I mean,
Tony, I thought it looked to me just, and I haven't watched the tape like you did, but just watching the game, it looked to me once Blake made the mistake, it was almost like, okay, well, we can't have that again.
What mistake?
So let's. Well, not the mistake, but the interception.
No, I don't
mistake.
Think that had anything to do with it. It was a good ball. It was a very good ball. You have to throw that low.
But
talking to people who were on the sideline, the feeling on the sideline was just dejection. the whole team kind of lost their mojo there.
I don't know. You could see that.
You could see that on a TV broadcast,
and you could feel it there. They shouldn't have. They should have been on the sideline. Listen, okay, big deal. We made a mistake. We just shoved it down their throats. We're going to do it all day. Let's go. That should have been the attitude. I don't know why it wasn't. I wasn't down there, but I agree with you guys. You could feel that. I don't think that had anything to do with it, Pete, because they came out and they ran it on first down. They threw it on second down. And they tried to throw it on third down. And guess what? Both those throws were there. I could see your complaint, and I would be 100% behind you, Pete, if this was a situation which we've seen in the past, not with Greg Olsen as much, but run, run, pass. You know, putting everything.
No, it's not that.
It's not that. And that's why – so I think it's an execution thing, and I think the players will tell you that. And I went back – and I usually don't do it. I usually don't go back and watch it twice. But I was so frustrated after watching it, specifically the run, which I know a lot about. And I went and watched it again. And, Pete, I'm telling you right now, it's execution by the players. It's missed assignments. It's not using technique the way they're – I know they're taught because I know what they teach. It's not the right aiming points. And I saw one time, in my opinion, there was a missed hole by a back. Other than that, I don't think it was on the backs.
Gus Bradley today and a couple of linemen were saying maybe there's a little lack of urgency on the offensive line. Do you feel that
drives me even more crazy.
Right.
How could you have a lack of urgency? You get 16 chances. Let's go. My goodness, lack of urgency.
Holy cow, JP.
I can't believe you said
that. Wouldn't playing faster at times bring a little urgency to the whole situation?
For an offensive lineman, no.
No, you know, I mean, not just for the lineman, for the team as a unit.
No, it's just different. I like – the one good thing about playing fast is if you get one first down and you're playing fast, it wears that defensive line out and it's easier to pass block and everything else. For whatever reason, offensive linemen don't get as tired as defensive linemen. Well, I know why, because we're not chasing the way they have to chase. I want to make sure you understand, Pete. I'm not against up tempo. I just don't think this team. I don't like this team saying let's go up tempo the whole game. That's not who they are, not yet at least. I don't think Blake is ready to. I don't think it would be fair to Blake at this point of his career to put him at the line of scrimmage and say call the game like Peyton Manning does or Tom Brady or Drew Brees.
But in spurts, you can do it.
In spurts. I'm 100% with you there.
Okay.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and flip it over to the defensive side. A lot of positive on that side of the ball, especially.
Not all positive.
Well, there's some positive, though.
Not all.
Some.
Not all.
Better than zero.
Yes. Well, there was positive on offense, too.
Yeah, I wasn't saying there wasn't.
Well, you just made it sound like offense was zero.
Well, it was disrespectful. Closer to zero than the alternative. Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. We're talking defense when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I just kept telling myself that's why this is a 60-minute game. That's why there's four quarters. The first half, I already knew Alshon was one of the top receivers in the league. I knew he was going to give me a good game. I didn't really have an answer for the comebacks in the first half. I kind of felt like he was pushing off a little bit. It is what it is. They weren't getting caught. I don't make excuses. So I just kept telling myself, keep fighting. Keep competing. The second half, don't let him catch nothing on you. I really kept telling myself that in my head. And like you said, I think first half, 6 catches, 90 yards. He gave me the business. Second half, I had it in my mind, like, I won't let my teammates down. I won't allow this to happen. Second half, I think it helped him to 1 catch, 3 yards or something like that.
There's cornerback Jalen Ramsey in the locker room at Soldier Field, Chicago, yesterday after the Jaguars win 17-16. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Well, he's read the stat sheet, apparently. He was right on. First half, 6 catches, 90 yards for Jeffrey, and then Not so much in the second half, and Ramsey had the game sealing pass defense to lock down the Jaguars' win at Soldier Field. And, you know, that's a big step. We're learning a lot more about Jalen Ramsey week after week after week here. But his ability.
What are we learning?
Well, this week we learned his ability to fight through getting his tail whipped in the first half and come back out and shut down the guy in the second half without help. I don't know if we knew that yet.
We also learned that he's very aggressive and will bite on a double move now and then, too.
We did learn that.
That's true.
I thought they played more zone in the second half. I thought they played more bump and run man first half, and a little bit more zone. Not that they didn't do bump and run in the second half. I mean, they did. They do a lot of it. But I thought they sprinkled in more zone in the second half. I don't know if that's accurate or not, because I did not go back and watch the defense twice. That's just as I was watching it. That was the thought I had. I'd be interested. I'm going to ask if they did that. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't care what he did. He didn't play. Everyone says he played terrible the first half. He's playing with the best receivers, and it was zero help over the top. And the guy caught some balls on comebacks, some very good throws. It's not like Jalen didn't win sometimes in the first half. With all that said, the play he made it in fourth down, and the way he broke on that ball, not a lot of guys in the league are making that play. That was a big-time play. I mean, a huge. That is what a top corner does, because it looks like he's open.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing, Tony, is I was sitting here right before the game's getting started. I said, boy, Jalen Ramsey is playing really good football, and I think he's got a chance to be one of the top 10 corners in this league. And then all of a sudden he goes out the first couple of plays and he's getting burned all over the place, and I started getting crap from all those guys. But he did. He settled in the second half and was better. He was better. He's still got a ton of talent.
Oh, he's really good. Gosh, he's good. I think he'll be a top five corner in this league one day.
How about the pass rush yesterday?
Awful. No good.
They got a key sack late, but it was a coverage sack.
It was a coverage sack. I mean, it was not. No one won.
They sent some pressure in that final couple of drives.
The Bears are pretty good at both guards now. Kyle Long, Josh Sitton are good players, Pro Bowl players. So I thought they had their work cut out. Whitehair, the rookie center, did a nice job, and all he's really doing is helping. Roy beat him up in the run pretty good. But those two tackles they have, Bobby Massey and Charles Lennon Jr., Bobby Massey especially, they're not really good.
No, they're not. They paid him a lot of money, too.
Yeah, they're not.
He's had a bad year.
Yeah, they're not very good.
He gets the ball out.
I don't care,
though.
Pete. I'm not disagreeing, but hit him at least. Get close.
Right, right.
The two young ends, especially Dante, I don't think Dante played very well. I thought Yannick was fine. He didn't win. Now, Yannick won, and to Pete's point, a couple times when he won, the ball was out, so he couldn't get there. But he had nice rushes. I didn't see one nice rush that I can remember. Now, maybe there was from Dante. I don't think he played a great game rushing the passer. And that was a little bit surprising because I was wrong, said before that he was going to have a big game because I thought he would get after Bobby Massey. And it didn't happen.
How about the inside guys?
Well, those are good battles now. Those are good players. Not much in the pass, a little bit here and there. Malik had some nice moves, got on edges, forced Hoyer off his spot. Sen had a nice rush that, you know, did the same. They played the run really well. I mean, they completely shut down the Chicago run. They were very physical. Backers played good. So run-wise, up front, they were outstanding, Pete. But they didn't get a lot in the pass rush.
How Miles Jack playing his cup of coffee?
This is where I agree with you. Not enough? How about that? Not enough is how he played.
Yeah. But how did he play in the tape when you watched it? Because I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, good. Good. Yeah, he's and nothing against Dan Scuda. They're different. They're better when Miles Jack's out there, in my opinion. Now, different skill set. So when, you know, if a team's going to go big personnel, maybe two tights, a fullback, tailback, which teams don't usually do very much, you'd rather have Scooter in there in that situation because he could stack that line, he can stack that tight end better than Miles Jack can right now. But as far as 11 personnel or 12 personnel or 21 personnel, 12 personnel for everyone listening, not to get too technical, is one back, two tight ends. 21 personnel is two backs, one tight end. So it's your base formation stuff. 13 would be one back, three tight ends. That's big personnel. So in those situations, when you big personnel, I can see why Scoot is in there. But out of your base fronts, one back, two tight ends, or two backs, one tight end, I'd rather have Miles Jack in there right now. Yeah, like he's better. But they rotated him, and I don't know why. Is the short answer because I haven't.
Yeah, played 15. He played 15 snaps.
Yeah, and I think Miles Scooter played 12.
That shouldn't happen.
Pete, you and I are on the same page here. And maybe something happened. Maybe he's messed up. Maybe there was a mental error. I don't know. But I'll ask this week and see.
Well, I mean, like maybe it's because remember you said he didn't in London. He didn't hold contain on the one run.
Maybe I don't know. But he needs to be out there. He's too dynamic and he's too good of a player.
So you thought he was okay on the downs he was on the field?
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I mean, he made one play stood out where he flashed coming down the backside, and when he hits people, they stop. And he's just so fluid and so explosive. But nothing else stood out. But I wasn't looking for him in particular, to be honest with you. I'm watching the defense. I'm watching, you know, what they're doing at point of attack, what they're doing in coverage. You know, looking for – when I watch defense, great plays, bad plays. I'm not like when I watch the offense, especially the offensive line, I'm evaluating and trying to figure out, you know – it's a little bit more of a higher view when I watch the defense.
Paul Posluszny still playing at a high level. 11 tackles.
That is a fact.
So is Telvin.
Telvin and Puz are good players, man. That's why the reason Miles Jack isn't playing every down is because he's not as good as Paul Posluszny right now. He's just not. Now, he's a better athlete. But an overall football player, which is mentally, physically, getting everyone the position that the Mike has to be on a defense, Puz is playing at too high of a level to take him off the field.
I agree. And you know what? He's also playing the pass pretty well.
Very, he is, Pete. It is.
You know me. I was the one who said you said cut him.
Yeah, you did.
Because of the salary. Because of the salary.
Yeah, you said cut him. You said cut him.
Because of the salary.
But you said cut him.
Just say you were wrong, Pete, and we can end this part of the conversation.
Okay, I was wrong about the way he's played. I'll say that.
Yeah. So you still would have cut him even though he's playing at a high level.
I might have. How do you know Jack wouldn't be playing at that level if he had put him right at middle linebacker? You don't know that.
Okay. Yeah. That's great, Pete.
Is Jack going to be the middle linebacker next year?
That's a good question.
I would assume, but what if Paul's playing this well again next year?
Well, then you drafted a guy with the second – you traded up in the second round to draft a guy who's going to play 15 snaps again next year then.
Okay.
Well, then it's either one or two things. Either you blew the pick or
– No, they didn't blow the pick. Miles Jack's a real deal, Pete. They didn't blow the pick.
Well, if he doesn't play for 3 years and he plays 15 snaps next year
– All of a sudden, 3 years? How do we go from –
It would be the third year, wouldn't it?
No, but you said if he doesn't play for 3 years.
Until the third year.
Okay,
until
that's
the
different.
Third year.
He's going to play.
You'd be okay with that.
If all three backers are playing at a high level, am I okay with it? I don't know. I mean, now, maybe Miles is – if Paul's still playing at a high level and Miles is playing at the same high level but he's a little more athletic, maybe you move Puz to auto. I don't know. Or maybe you keep Puz in the middle – on first and second down, and you move Miles and Nickel. And Puz comes off the field. So first and second down, Mike, and then he comes off the field, and Jack stays out there. I mean, I don't know.
I just think he needs to be on the field more, period.
Okay.
Somehow, some way, find a way to get
So who do you want to take off? Because you only get to play.
I don't know. Find out
only,
a way to get
well,
him
no,
on
no,
the
no.
field.
No. You don't get to say that, Pete. You don't get to make these statements and have no solution. You
could have played another 12. No, he could have played another 12 snaps instead of Scooter the other day.
Okay, that's fine. If that's your answer, then you're stopping there. But you only can play 11 guys. So where are you going to put them?
Well, there's 20. That would give him a 27 snap.
Is that enough?
And then you could take.
Is that enough? It's a yes or no question.
The rest of the guy, you could take a guy
off. Who are you
going to
take off?
Put him on the field.
Who are you going to take off?
I don't know. Telvin?
No, oh, really? So you're going to take off Telvin, who's playing at an extremely high level, maybe the best defensive player on the team right now. You're going to take him off.
He needed a breather. Oh. Get a couple plays here and there.
Oh, okay. So you're going to take your best, most productive defensive player off the field. Is that what you're doing?
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but you got to get this.
Wait a second. You wouldn't do it. I just asked you, Pete.
If he needs a breather, Tony, they take the best defensive lineman off the field all the time,
stop,
don't they?
Stop, Pete. Stop.
We'll come back in a moment. Continue
okay, so
then, this.
If you're going to say the way what you're just saying, are you going to admit that it was a bad pick if he doesn't play for 2 years?
No, I will not.
The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags welcome the Oakland Raiders. Injury report, your calls in the second hour. Also, Jaguars All-Access TV tonight at 7 o'clock. Aaron Colvin is the guest. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Came in, you know, A-Rob got a little tired, went in at the X, you know, just be ready at all times, you know, no matter, you know, the situation, you know what I mean, it's all about the team, so, you know, just went out there, executed the play, Blake made the throw, you know what I mean, and just as far as, you know, knowing down the distance and how everything's going, he didn't touch me, I didn't feel him touch me, I just got up and kept going.
Aurelius, that's my boy right there. That's my Ben. Boy. Aurelius Ben. 1-7. That's how we roll here.
Yeah, you're wearing the jersey tonight. Right, what baby. Size is that jersey, by the way?
Extra large, I think.
Extra large? No. It's
double,
bigger than that.
Double extra large?
Probably triple.
I guarantee it's not triple.
Hey,
Baselli, check it out.
If Aurelius Ben had dropped that pass, then everybody on the stadium, everybody on this show tonight would have said, what the hell was he doing in the game?
I actually, before the play beat, I look at the sideline. Excuse me.
There's a cough button for that. You know.
I couldn't catch it. It came too fast. Yeah. A-Rob and Marquise are on the sideline, and I look up, and I watch Brian Walters and Aurelius Ben jog out to the huddle, and I'm like, and I say to Frank and Jeff.
You said it on the air.
On the air. Guys, A-Rob and Marquise are on the sidelines. That means – Ben and Walters are in the game. And I left it at that. Because I was like, what is going on? What are we doing? I mean, I could see subbing one. But didn't
A-Rob want to get off on his own? He went off on his own.
They went off their own. I think they just run like multiple deep routes in
right.
a hurry up.
Back to back, yeah.
And they were gassed. So I get it. It was just ironic right, of the timing. And now I'm wearing a Aurelius Ben jersey.
What a story for him, though. The last touchdown in the league was 2011, December 24th, Christmas Eve, against the Panthers with the Buccaneers.
Well, people forget he was a second-round pick.
He was a second-round pick, no doubt about it. And then he had 4 years' worth of injuries, three of those full seasons he missed. And now he's back. He's fought through it, and he's – kind of persevered, man, and put himself to a little career together.
Well, he's a heck of a
he should thank the grass at Soldier Field too.
Well, he was in. It was going to be a big play, no matter what.
It was going to be a good play, but it wasn't.
No, yeah,
be a
it was not going to be a touchdown. No. Nope. But he's a heck of a special teams player too. Really good special teams player. So he has made a nice niche for himself, and happy for him. Happy for him. Big play, big opportunity.
Yeah, because he was about not to make the roster.
Yeah.
He was on the bubble. There's no doubt. Him and Walters. All those guys. How about the injury report for the Jaguars? You know, the news yesterday, well, you know, there weren't too many notable big injuries.
Were there
yesterday.
Any? I'm trying to think.
Alan Hearns left the game. He had the wind knocked out of him.
Fine.
But he was cleared to return. Blandon Linder, a right foot contusion, played through it. He'll continue to be evaluated. Rashad Green continues to rehab his Achilles tendonitis. Corey Grant, a toe injury on his right foot, continues to recover. Neil Sterling, the tight end, plantar fasciitis in his left foot. Tashawn Gibson worked out and cleared to play, of course. And Jeff Linkenbach released from injured reserve today with a concussion. So there you have it, the injury report for the Jaguars. So returners are, I guess, the most notable. What's that?
What are we going to do, grades?
We'll do that in the next
segment. We do that after the next. This Pete, every week it's the same thing. You ask the stupid question, we do it right afterwards.
Wow.
I got to ask a stupid question to get a stupid answer from a stupid guy.
The music started. Stop talking, Pete.
We'll come back. PFF grades around the corner. And your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think it's definitely something that I feel comfortable in. I know it's something that our offense, I think it helps us kind of find a rhythm when we're struggling. It's a good mix-up. I thought it was perfect time for, Ole to make that call and go no huddle because we weren't getting things done, kind of with our game plan and huddling and doing all that. So, I know I feel comfortable in it. I like doing it. I know our guys like doing it and feel good with it. So it's good to see us get some production out of it.
Blake Bortles discussing playing in a tempo offense. It was a little bumpy in the first half, so they
I think Pete and I both agree it should be part of the game plan on a weekly basis.
He definitely likes it. You can see that. I mean, it's easy to see. I don't think it's a big secret. Do it. Do it more.
I mean, can I ask a question?
You just did.
I know. Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Can I ask multiple questions?
You can do whatever you'd like, Tony.
Do you have the NFL rankings? Where's our defense ranked right now?
I have them right here. I have them right here if you want them.
Do it.
Ranked, I think they were ranked 7th, Tony.
Someone just tweeted me and said we were ranked 5th in the NFL, number 1 in the AFC in yards. That can't be right, is it?
I'll tell you right now. I got it right here. It might be 5th.
That's what someone just tweeted me.
They're 8th in total yards.
Okay.
8th in total yards.
Where in the AFC?
4th in yards per play, which is an interesting stat. 4th in yards per play. Points, though, not so good. It's
it got better,
21st.
Though.
Well, it's 21st.
Yeah, they were 28th. I mean, that San Diego game is where it really hurts them.
Here's the teams ahead of them right now. Ready? Seattle in yards. Seattle's 1. Minnesota's 2. Baltimore's 3. Denver's 4. Arizona's 5. Philly 6, and Houston is 7. So they're 4th in the AFC in yards.
And where? How many yards between Minnesota, who's 1, and Jacksonville in yards per game?
I'd have to look. Hold on, I'll tell you a second.
Well, I mean, just give me an estimate. Don't take your shoes off. So
no, I got it right here. I can find it.
It's
Tony,
not that far to reach, actually. That's the
good point.
Minnesota is giving up average of 287.6 per game.
Okay, 287.
And Jacksonville is giving up 321.
So only 34 yards difference.
Right. And between the top defense and Baltimore's giving up 294. And then Denver's 295, Houston's 315.
So
they're
all kind of all bunched together.
Yeah.
Their defense is playing. And there was a lot of things they can clean up. A lot from that game. And with that, they're still playing quality defense. Their red zone defense was outstanding. Only gave 1 touchdown of 4 visit or 4 visits to the red zone. So it was a little bit of bend but don't break defense. Got a stop on the sudden change. Early they were and when I said not all was good, because I thought the pass rush wasn't great. And I thought they struggled to get off. At one point, the Bears were 7-for-9 in third down conversions. And I think they ended up 7-for-19.
Yeah, they were 0-for-6 in the second half.
And that's a problem. Third down conversions defense has been a problem.
It has. Now, they did much better.
They're 28th in the league in third down defense, Tony.
And it was like 32nd in the league in the first half. They were awful. And that's something that has to get cleaned up. We talked about it last week, Pete. One of the statistics that I think is very important when you evaluate a team is that third down conversion as an offense and third down stops as a defense.
How about some?
Yeah, they're last in the league in third down conversion.
I know.
Yeah.
It's not very good. No. That worries me.
It's bad. Pro Football Focus grades for this Jaguars team. This ought to be pretty interesting this week.
Well, I mean, no, I think Tony –
I would probably agree.
Tony has an idea of – because you watched it twice, so I think you have an idea now of who was good and who wasn't. And I think you're going to get angry at some of these. That's why I'm already
okay.
I'm already saying that because I think you're going to get angry.
Let's start with the offensive line.
Whoever would you say that, Pete?
Offensive line.
All right.
I would
two
give
guys
them
on the offensive line graded in the green.
Linder and Cam.
Yes. No. Linder and Omame.
All right. I thought Omame played well. I would say I could argue all three did. I thought they all graded in the green from how I graded in pass protection. Pass protection, for the most part, was outstanding.
Yeah, Omame was in the green in the pass protection. Linder was in the green in pass protection. And Can was right flat, so he just missed being in the green.
I think they all – I would have put them all as positives. Winning football – I mean, I'll give you my grades. Winning or not winning football or losing football. They were all – played winning football when it came to pass protection. Run blocking, I probably would only give Linder a winning grade run blocking.
And
maybe Omame. Omame was okay.
They gave nobody a winning grade. Oh, they gave Can the slight win in run blocking and Omame, those two. They didn't give Linder a win in run blocking.
Okay.
They gave big negatives to Beecham.
And pass too?
Both.
Yeah, I disagree.
No, run blocking. No, pass was slightly okay.
Listen.
Run blocking, big minus.
I could argue they all get minuses when you only rush for whatever, 38 yards or 40 yards, whatever it was.
Parnell got a 1-1 green in pass protection. Accurate?
Yeah, I thought he pass blocked well.
Okay. There's a couple other. They gave Blake Bortles a green.
No.
I can't see.
Nope.
A high green. In fact, he was the highest rated offensive player, Tony.
No.
Who, Blake?
Yep.
Why do we do this every week, Pete? These guys are – come on. What are they watching?
All, right. All the receivers were in the – everybody except for Allen Robinson was in the red.
Marquise Lee, I thought, played really well.
Let me see. Where is he? He's down lower. Let me see where he is on here. Oh, no, he's not in the red. Yeah, he's not in the green either, but he's not in the red. So there you have your offense pretty
dumb,
much.
Dumb and dumb. Okay, go ahead.
Julius Thomas got his usual minus in blocking.
Yes.
Well, he gave up the sack, right?
I'll just say yes.
Why would you ever – okay, Tony, how does that become a situation where he's blocking the defensive end?
So if you watch the tape, which I did
it's
twice.
It's run action to the
hold
left,
hold on,
right?
Let me finish, Pete.
Okay.
I watched it twice. If I'm not mistaken from watching it, Julius Thomas is supposed to go in motion. You can see Blake looking at him trying to get him to go motion. What I believe is supposed to happen on that concept, he's supposed to go in motion and then return motion and get over the top of him to make it an easy block for him. That coupled with the fact, and we said this on the broadcast, Blake, it's play action pass, but he's supposed to be more vertical. He rolls right way into the sack. So the combination of the two, it's on both of them, creates a bad play. If both of them do their job, Allen Robinson is running wide open for an easy touchdown. Wide open, Pete. So you have a, in my estimation, from watching the tape.
It's on both of them. On both of them.
Mainly Julius, though, because my guess is, and I don't know why Blake just didn't call timeout if he's not moving in motion, because you can see Blake lifting his foot looking at him, and JT never moves. So I know the concept they're trying to do, and you can see it as plain as day. A lot of teams do it. It wasn't executed right, first and foremost,
so,
by the tight end.
So when he
and
lifted
second,
his leg, when he lifted his leg, what does he want him to do?
He wants him to go in motion.
And then
it's return motion, Pete. So he goes across and then returns back to set himself up to get leverage on the defensive end to make it an easier block.
And he didn't move at all.
Didn't move.
All right.
And all right, if they do their job, Allen Robinson.
Touchdown.
Touchdown.
Let's
so I go back to is that scheme? Is that playing fast? Is that play calling? That's execution.
Well, he's not a good blocker, first and foremost.
I could argue that on your behalf as well as saying, even though they did it all wrong, and I like the concept, is that the guy you wanting running the concept?
Right.
I get that.
Okay.
But that's what it looks like to me. I could be wrong now. I'm trying to – and this is why I'm always careful to be too critical, because I'm trying to decipher this from what I'm watching. But I watched it multiple times this time.
All right, let's go to the defense.
Yep.
On the defensive line, one starter graded in the green.
Really?
Yeah.
Roy Miller.
I thought Roy played well.
He's above. He's not a negative, but he's kind of like in.
So I thought Roy played winning football. I thought Sen played really good against the run. He made one play.
He didn't start though. I said the starter.
Okay, well, he made one play against Kyle Long in Senderic, abused Kyle Long.
Yeah, Senderic played is one of the higher guys on the graded this week. So, yes.
Malik.
Positive. Got a positive grade. Negative in the pass rush though.
Yeah, they didn't do much in the past. That's what I said. But he played. I mean, I thought Malik's played well here.
Ngakoue was a slight minus.
Ngakoue's a good player, though, guys. He's a good player.
Slight minus.
He's a better player. He's a better football player. Not as talented, but he's a better football player than Dante Fowler right now. In my opinion.
Yeah, he is. Jared Oddsworth minus.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Then
what about Tyson? Because they kind of are rotating. Where how did Tyson grade out?
Tyson was a minus in the run game.
I don't understand that. How do all these guys get minuses in the run game when they shut down the Chicago Bears run game? What were their final statistics in run?
The
JP?
Bears had 92 yards on the ground.
How many yards per carry?
Stand by.
Fowler, by the way, was a big minus in the run game, Tony.
Pete, they rushed for 3.4.
I know.
Is everyone minuses?
Fowler was a big minus in the run game.
And part of that run was on a reverse, too. Really? Okay. They had to be everyone had to be minus pass rushing.
The down guys, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about?
Puz and Talvin have to be pluses.
Wait, I'm going to get Avery Jones was a plus.
Avery
positive.
Jones is a good football player. Great rotational guy for Roy. I sometimes wonder if he could be the starter with more rep. Because sometimes, you know, Pete, you know this, guys play better as that coming off the bench role.
Right.
And I wonder if that's just who he is. I don't know. He's not as good as Roy, what they want that position to do. Roy is so good on first and second down. But Avery Jones has turned into it for an undrafted guy out of Georgia. Made the roster. He is a productive player, and he can play nose, three, or big end if they need him to.
All right, so let's move on to the linebackers.
Telvin and Puz have to be positive. Please.
Both positive.
Yeah, they
both
have
positive.
To be.
And they gave Puzlusny, interestingly enough, a 3.1 in pass coverage, which is highest of anybody.
I thought he played well, very well. They were running some of those underneath routes, some crossings.
He made some good tackles.
The Jags would let him catch it, and then Puz would come up and just hammer them. I'm like, that is not fun if you're a receiver.
Miles Jack was
he didn't play much.
No, 0.2. He's not on the negative or the positive. Then you go to the secondary.
I would say I give Prince. I thought Prince played well.
Prince is a positive, big positive.
I'd give Jalen
Ramsey's a big negative.
Well, the first half he gave up a bunch. He had some missed tackles. It was not one of his better games.
Cyprian, big positive.
Yeah, I thought Sip played well. I thought ever since they've asked Sip to be just a box safety, like you and I have talked about, Pete, for the last year, he's played well.
Six tackles, one pass defense.
Yeah, he's played well. When they asked him to do what he is, he's not a midfield player. He's not a center field player, I should say. He is a box safety. That's who he is.
Colvin with a big positive.
I thought Colvin came back and played very productive. He got beat on the one slant. He got fooled at the line of scrimmage what the route was. He thought it was going to be a pick play. He jumped it. The guy ran an outstanding route. Perfect throw. It turned into a big play. Outside of that, I thought he played very well.
Yeah, five tackles, a couple of key tackles late in the game, too.
And then the last guy, Gibson, was just average.
I thought he did nothing. Nothing good or bad.
Right.
Well, there you have it.
Is that not a bad thing for a middle free safety? No, I mean, if you have a free safety that plays, you know, the middle of the field like that and patrols back there, if he's like middle of the road, that's not such a bad.
I'll give him a break because he was sucked it up and he had a knee and he played with it. But moving forward, he was a ball hawk. That's what we talked about, Pete. He's a ball hawk. That's what he was at Cleveland, all those picks. I'd like to see some more of that.
Right. And then that's it for the defense.
Good.
There you have it. The PFF.
So you're okay
grades.
With their grades this week, Tony? Other
not
than
offensively.
No.
And neither are you,
well,
by
the
way.
The quarterback grade is way too high for the way he played.
So you agree with me?
Yes.
Yeah. So one thing Pete and I usually agree on is how bad PFF grades are.
Right. Yeah, let's see what the masses think tonight. Let's open the phone line. 355-NFL-1.
They're going to agree with me on the way the team should play, I guarantee you.
Let's see what Leo in Mandarin has to say about it. Leo, good evening. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing tonight?
Hey, man, good. Thanks for taking the call, man. I'm real excited about the win. Don't care about the ugliness. I mean, I know, you know, we got Coach Todd Wash, and we got to get a lot of things cleaned up, and everybody need to go see him. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what games a lot of people are watching. I've seen it. I had no doubt in my mind that I thought this team would come back when they were only down by 10, 13 points.
Me and you both, Leo.
Hey, listen, Pete. I'm just want to say this. Pete, you've been that's why I like listening to you, because you remember you used to say a long time ago, this thing with the running game. I know the running game is terrible, but I know how you used to say you throw to set up your running game. See, a lot of people don't understand that. But see, you ever watch the Patriots and how they do those quick little passes? I would like to see us try to do some more of that. But Blake Bortles is going to have one of them breakout games. He's going to have one of them 400-yard, four touchdown. It's coming. I'm telling you. The defense is looking very good. I have a different feel about this team. And I'm going to move forward from this game yesterday because I'm good with the win. Dude, we cannot let Yak Del Rio come in here. I know he won.
We're not going to. Leo, let me tell you. We're bringing the hammer.
We've got to win this game, guys.
We're bringing the hammer this week.
We've got to win this game. We got to win this home game. Listen, don't let him come in here and think he belongs, like he's somebody because he's doing good out there in Oakland. Dude, we have to get behind, do whatever you got to do, get everybody fired up. You know, we got to have this game. You know what I'm saying? Get us to 3-3. And I'm so fired up right now, dude. And this is what this team does to me. And I'm really believing, man, all the naysayers or whatever. Look, and I want to say one more thing before I go. Don't hang up on me. I'm not one of these people who want this team to fail just to see Gus Bradley go. Look, I'd love
Preach,
to see
Leo.
Some miraculous thing where he'd win like 25 games. If this team's winning, I don't care if he stays and coaches. I just want to see them win. I don't care if it's by that stupid half a point that Vegas always talked about. I don't care if they win by half a point every week. As long as we're winning, I'm good. And I just want us to win this week against Jack Del Rio because – you know, I know he's going to come in here with kind of that little, you know, that little swagger, you know, because he took us to the playoffs with Leftwich and Garrard and people like that. So we got to beat this dude, man. Come on.
All right. Leo, bringing the heat.
I love everything.
Leo on fire today.
I love Leo. Leo, that was great. My only thing is, and take nothing away from Leo's call because I agreed with most of it. Why is it, and Pete does this, it drives me crazy. A lot of fans do it. It drives me crazy. You ever notice when they start going, the Jaguars offense do this. The Patriots, you know, this is what the Patriots do. Have we forgotten the Patriots got a guy named Tom Brady who's a Hall of Famer, arguably the greatest guy to ever play that position? Have we forgot about that? Because no. That's like the default argument. Well, the Patriots do it. Well, congratulations. When Tom Brady suits up, let me know, and then we'll start doing what the Patriots do. Now, I'm taking nothing away from Blake Bortles. You can say that about a lot of quarterbacks in this league. And I hope that one day Blake will be in that position to be regarded as one of the best. He's a young player still. But stop comparing this offense to the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Pete, why do you always do that?
Well, here's the other thing about that. Because Belichick has skins on the wall. I mean, the guy's won Super Bowl. He can do that. A coach who doesn't have the security or the job security of a Belichick can't do that. That's the problem. Oh, yes, he has Tom Brady, but he also did it with Jimmy Garoppolo a couple weeks ago.
Well, he has no pelts on the wall with Jimmy Garoppolo, Pete. Let's get that straight.
No, but he did. When Jimmy Garoppolo played the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Garoppolo threw it around 25 times before he got hurt. What's that?
I'm not saying he didn't play well. No, you're right.
So yes, he does. When you have security of a Bill Belichick, you can do that. When you don't have job security, which clearly Gus Bradley does not have right now, you can't do that all the time.
But you do agree with me. Comparing, if your argument
yeah, you
for
can't,
offense,
Brady, it's
you
not
can't
fair
compare
to
it. I mean, it's not fair.
It's not. It's not fair to anybody to compare to Brady.
We'll take our time out. We'll get to some more calls when we come back. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Victory Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's about just being mature and growing up. You know, there's too many mistakes that we're better than doing. There's a chance we could be sitting here talking about that first possession. Here it is on the 1 yard line, and we don't come away with a score. And I think it's, you know, at that point you're saying, come on, we're better than this, and let's execute and get these things done. And so it was a heartfelt talk at halftime.
Gus Bradley in the postgame press conference at Soldier Field yesterday. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco. Phone lines open, so let's go there. Actually, I got to mention before we go there, the Jaguars did make a donation to the Red Cross here in Jacksonville for Hurricane Matthew relief efforts. $25,000 a few days ago to the Northeast Florida chapter of the American Red Cross. So good to see. And the Jags have a big hometown huddle tomorrow. They'll be in a number of different areas around Jacksonville. We'll get more on that coming up a little bit later. So let's go to the phone line. Skipper is in Mandarin. Let's go with Skipper. What's up tonight? You're on the air.
Hello?
This is Skipper.
Hello?
Skipper.
Yeah, hey.
You're on the air.
Love
what's
the
up?
Show, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I was wondering now, what do you guys think of this? You know, I saw Harbaugh's been using Jabril Peppers at quarterback. And when our offense starts to stall, we got Denard sitting on the bench. Why not try to get him out to the perimeter and give him run-pass option, give him a new look, give him something else to think about? What do you think? Would that work or not?
Skipper, I think it's an outstanding question. I'll let Pete answer that for you.
Get Denard Robinson? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, get Denard.
Give him some snaps.
Get Denard quarterback.
That is one of the five dumbest things that I've heard in a long time, okay?
What are the other four?
Well, Tony said about three of them today. So
You're in good company then, Skipper, me and you, baby.
Hey, you know, I like what they're doing, like putting Alu in the offense on the goal line formations, getting the big guys in there.
Absolutely. I'm a fan of that, too.
Yeah. Now, Pete, why wouldn't that work?
Why would you take the ball out of your quarterback's hand? He's the best guy.
My God, we're going three and out.
But you're going to go give the ball to a running quarterback who played
run pass option, Pete. Run pass option.
Right. Oh my God. He can
still
win it.
You know what? You know what they should do?
Talking about how these defensive linemen start to gas.
That's true. That's true.
You know what they should do? On the outside.
If they want to run that, they should go sign Tebow.
Chill.
Not a bad idea, maybe.
He's busy right now.
Oh, he's playing baseball. We can't get him. Yeah. Shucks.
Wow. All right. We're off and rolling. Daryl in Pasadena, California, home of the Rose Bowl. Daryl,
so that was
up?
One of the five dumbest questions ever?
Yeah, and the other – I said three of the other four were today from you.
Wow.
I'm in good company then, me and Skipper.
Daryl, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, JP? Tony, Pete?
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Great.
Great, man. What you got?
All right. Before I ask my question, I just wanted to say that I do love Blake Bortles, and I hope that he does well and is a Jaguar forever.
This sounds like one of those things you're going to say, I love Blake Bortles, but
there's a comma but.
Yeah.
All right, give us the but now.
Yeah. Well, my concern is this, because I know over the offseason, one of the reasons we didn't spend too much is because we want to re-sign Bortles and Allen Robinson. But if Bortles keeps playing like this, do you think we should re-sign him at the end of the season like they were discussing before?
All right.
And I'll take your comments off the air.
Thanks for the call from Pasadena.
Wait, didn't spend much?
Yeah, they spent some money now. They opened the checkbook.
If that's not spending much, can I get on that payroll?
Wow. Would you re-sign him early? If this continues the way he's playing right now?
No, I don't think there's any reason to. But first of all, I don't think he's going to continue to play like this, which is inconsistent. I think he will play better. I think he's a better quarterback than he's played the first five games. But would I sign him? No, I would not. I don't have to. There's no reason to.
No, they don't have – it's not like they need relief from the cap.
Yeah, there's no reason to. I would not. I'm not sure I'd sign on Robinson either. There's no reason to.
Unless
Allen Robinson. I forgot. Allen Robinson, I would, because he'll be in his last year of his deal. You could pick up Blake's fifth-year option. I'm sorry. Yeah. I would re-sign Allen Robinson in this offseason because his deal is going to be up after – and you don't want him to get to free agency, and you don't want to have to franchise him. So I would re-sign Allen Robinson.
Yeah, the question will be the option. And they'll take the option.
Yeah, you pick up the option on Blake, and you go about your business, just like the Colts did with Andrew Luck. You wait.
That's if you truly believe he's your guy moving forward, right?
Well, you're going to pick up the option no matter what.
You are?
Yes. Unless something disastrous happens over the next 12 games or 11 games, which I don't see happening. This team's going to the playoffs. I told you from the start.
Oh. Stone cold locked?
Not yet.
Oh.
I'm still evaluating whether it's going to be a lock this week for the Raiders and what that lock will be.
Tony, the tape is up there now. I saw that play where Robinson would have been a touchdown right in the middle of the field. He deked that corner so easily. The safety was caught in no man's land.
Yep. It's called execution.
But you're right, though. It was bad. It was a bad block by Thomas, but Blake kind of
– he gets too wide. He's supposed to get vertical, and then he can step up, and then that guy's not an issue.
He would have been able to step up and fire that shot down the middle of the field because there was nobody else providing any sort of pressure.
None at all.
Let's finish up the phone calls tonight. Pat on the west side is on the air. Pat, what's up, man?
Yes, I was holding Pat for get on the air.
You're
on the air, Pat.
What's up?
Oh, am I?
You are?
Hey, guys, Tony.
Hey, what's up, Pat?
Hey, buddy, I agree with everything that you said.
That's why I love you, Pat.
With it, and I appreciate you coming on like that with your knowledge, playing the game and everything.
Thank you, sir.
And all the stuff that happened in the beginning, it never gave me doubt Jaguars wasn't going to come back and win that game because I knew they were going to find that gut and determination that you talked about that I've seen you play so many times.
Thank
like
you, sir.
With your leg hurt or something, and I could just tell what you were thinking. Like you were saying, well, guy, I might not push you back five foot, but I'm going to push you back two.
That's
and
exactly
I'm
right.
Make
maybe
our
three.
Work this time.
That's right.
And so, man, I appreciate that. And these people calling in about the plays and get rid of Gus. I watch every Sunday different teams call the same plays. Some of them win, some of them lose. I had a coach back in the 70s I was fortunate enough to play with. I'm not going to get into the name, who it was and all that, but he used to tell us, he said, these are our plays. He said, there's 50% chance they'll work, 50% chance they won't. But with your gut and determination, y'all are the ones that's going to make them work. So
that's
I've seen that in the fourth quarter. And I just believe the Jaguars are going up. And I've seen teams, you know, like one yesterday in the last quarter like that, it would be down 35 points. And from gut and determination,
I've seen them come back
and win. And, you know, in those games, in those towns, all the people was positive. Their guys was heroes, and what really disappointed me yesterday on some of the radio talk shows, you would have thought we lost the game. And right off the bat, it was negativism.
Frustrating,
we had little Larry and Mo and Goober calling in, and I guarantee you.
And JP was hosting, which was even worse.
I
guarantee you, if Jalen Ramsey, you know, he's getting beat most of the day, but gut determination, did what
Gus
counted. Was that one play, knocked that ball down. And if he hadn't, people would have been calling and hollering, fire Gus Bradley. He had Jalen Ramsey out there. He didn't have no business having Jalen Ramsey out there. And, you know, and this is including me. We got about 60,000 coaches in this town, plus about a half a dozen radio hosts. Not you, JP. You got it going on, buddy.
Oh, don't be. That's not true, Pat.
I got you, Pat.
That's the first lie you've told. That's the first lie you've told on this.
Just thank God that Shad Khan's not going to hire any of us out here. He needs to stick with the coach he's got.
I disagree with that. I think I could do a heck of a job.
Pete Prisco could too, probably.
No, don't hire Pete. Pat, you're right. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the support. Appreciate it, buddy.
No doubt, man.
Hey, by the way, Tony, I want to say something about the first run of the game, because my reference points are always go back to, you know, when the heyday of some of these teams. On the very first run of the game for Jacksonville, now that I see this on tape, Fred Taylor would have had about a 40-yard gain on this play, and T.J. Yeldon ended up with a 1-yard gain.
I don't have it right in front of me, so I can't remember.
But
it
was
one.
Pretty well blocked at the point when he got the handoff.
Actually, I got some notes in my pocket. Hold on, let me pull them out. I brought notes.
Did you? Oh, yeah. You did. You just now are going to pull them out?
So Tony, that'd be play two. Yeah, there's a missed assignment, Pat. I mean, not Pat, Pete. There's a missed assignment by the tight end on that play. If you watch closely, that's why the play doesn't go anywhere. It forces TJ away from where he wants to go.
Right. He wants to go to the left, and he starts cutting it back to the right.
He has to because it's a missed assignment.
But if he bounces that outside that missed assignment, because the tight end actually could make a block on that on the linebacker.
But you can't. As soon as it's a missed assignment, it takes you away from it. And in fairness to TJ and all running backs in the league right now, or maybe there's one or two that I don't know about, tell me where Fred Taylor is in this league who's 220 pounds and runs 4.3.
Yeah, there isn't one. Yeah, what am I talking about?
Come on, man.
But you see what now that you remember the play, you see what I'm talking about. He would have bounced that outside the tight
end.
Yeah,
that's not on TJ. That's not the design of the play. I understand what Fred would do, but Fred, there's always a handful of backs that would do that.
Right. And then when TJ tried to bounce to the right,
it's too late.
Cann actually had a decent block going on Hicks, but he couldn't hold him that long, and he kind of shed him.
So that's my whole point, Pete. My whole point about talking about it. It's not. And I'm not saying you couldn't change the mix of plays on first down. That's not even a debate, because I go back and forth on that, and there's no right answer, because when it works, it's the right mix, and when it doesn't, it's the wrong mix. I always go back to, are you running into a favorable front or box or not? And if you can scheme it up where you have the numbers and it's favorable, it's a good play. And they did, but they didn't execute.
We'll come back in a moment and go around the National Football
League.
Yeah,
I got some questions about the league for our expert, Pete Prisco.
The best part of that call from Pat was when he said, I got it going on. That's great news.
That was good. After he ripped you about
somebody you finally
being,
sees it.
About you being negative on Sunday after the game.
I wasn't.
Heard you were.
I just host the show.
I heard you were negative.
Who's negative? PRI Productions.
The word on the street.
Is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Thank you for the calls tonight. Around the league after this, Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Yes, it does. JP Shadrick. Tony Vaselli with a smart mouth tonight, and
yes.
Pete Prisco.
As usual. So I got questions.
Yes. We're going to go around the league.
You want to lead around the league, or you want me to?
Well, I mean,
I'm going to start it.
Well, are we going to start with the AFC South first?
No.
And get our AFC South rankings?
No, I don't want to talk about that right
Power
now.
Power rate like we do each and every week?
No, we'll do that later.
Okay. Great.
Pete, are you ready to admit that I was right about Aaron Rodgers?
That he's struggling?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's struggling.
It's been 16 games now, or 17 really, but if you go, there was an article, and I'll find it. I'll try to text it to you. There was an article in the Milwaukee Journal.
I read it.
Great article, very well done. His numbers are average at best, the last 16 games. Something's wrong.
The system's wrong.
Well, he's not accurate like he once was, Pete, either.
No, but he also and I went back and watched the game last week, Tony. I studied the game last
week. Well, I'm doing the game Thursday night.
Okay.
In
go
Green
back
Bay,
and watch
so
last,
I'll go
I
back.
Watch
I'll,
last...
I'll watch in detail this past game against the Cowboys, the All-22.
Well, I watched what was last week's game against
Giants, maybe.
Yeah, against the Giants. They ran of all the pass plays they ran. I forget the exact number.
Well, I saw your stuff on Twitter. I did see that.
Five times receivers crossed each other. Five. You can't win that way in the NFL anymore.
That's it?
You just can't.
Wow.
Yeah, and on one of those plays, they motioned Jordy Nelson from the left side to the right side. He settled in behind the tight end, and the tight end cleared out, and he crossed underneath them, and he got 17 yards. They don't do that enough, and I don't understand why. It's almost like all their ISO routes, and you can win with isolation routes when you have Randy Moss. I mean, he can win. He could because he can run by people and he can win against double coverage, and the great receivers can do that. They don't have great receivers. The receivers are just good, and they don't scheme it up to get them open. They don't bunch. They don't pick. They don't rub. They don't do any of that stuff.
But
it's,
I even saw in your analysis that even you said, but Aaron's missing stuff. He's not the same Aaron Rodgers. He's not sitting in the pocket. He's not stepping up. He's getting out there too quick, trying to break contain and run around and make things happen. He's not throwing on time, and he does not trust whether it's the system, the receivers, or his eyes. Something has happened.
Yeah, I think it, because he's got a good offensive line. They're good in pass
protection.
Yes,
they are.
So, but here's what it is, Tony, and if just in the tapes that I watched. They don't win, and they're not open. And so when they don't win and not open, if that continually happens, it's like if you get beat on by, a quarterback gets beat on, he's naturally going to drop his eyes down. Well, his guys don't win. And when they don't win, he starts going, okay, well, I got to start improvising. So they start getting, the scramble.
What that has led to, Pete, though, is him leaving earlier before his, because his guys do win at times, and he's already on the run. And he doesn't throw – nothing's on time. Nothing's in rhythm with that offense right now. Nothing.
No. It's not good.
And it starts with him, in my opinion.
He's not playing well. He missed a short touchdown pass to Randall Cobb that would have been an easy throw for him in the past. And he also missed a read, which, where he didn't see the safety coming across as he's planted on one side of the field, and he came right across and didn't see him.
Before the season, if I asked Pete Prisco, how many quarterbacks would you take before Aaron Rodgers?
I still take.
You would say zero. How many quarterbacks now would you take before Aaron Rodgers?
I still would take maybe Brady and Roethlisberger. That's it.
For one season. For this season. I'm not talking career. I'm talking this season. Because there's a list for me. Because I would have been with you before. I would have said I'm taking maybe Brady before, but Aaron Rodgers.
How long is your list now?
Too easy to pile on.
Pete, I've seen enough. Pete, here's the difference. I did a bunch of their games last year. A bunch for Westwood. And I'm doing a game Thursday night again. And I remember last year watching the tape live. And I said, something's wrong. And I played it off like everybody else. Oh, it's no Jordy Nelson. Their guys aren't winning. But then the more I've watched it and the more I watch the tape, I think he gets out of the pocket early. I don't think he trusts it. Something, he's not either seeing it or he – I don't know what it is. Maybe it's what you said. So many times they're not winning, he just is out. But right now – and now, take. I'm not talking about arm talent. He still has the most talented arm in the league. That hasn't changed. But as far as quarterbacking a football team, I'm taking Brady, I'm taking Roethlisberger, I'm taking Breeze, I'm taking Matt Ryan. Those four for sure before I'm taking Aaron Rodgers right now. That would not have been the case before the season.
Yeah, but
just saying, something's not right, Pete. That's all.
Yeah, he's not right. It doesn't look right. But, again, I go back to why don't they do stuff to change it up, to get him into a
rhythm? And that's a fair question. They don't. They have a lot of ISO routes. It's an old. I don't know. They run levels. They do run some levels and stuff. Crossers with levels, but I don't know. There's not a lot of pick plays. There's not a lot of stacking receivers and stuff like that.
No, it's two on one side, one on the other, and you run your route and I'll run mine. That's basically what it is. And there's no threat of any kind from the tight end position at all.
No.
Nothing.
Nope.
Jared Cook was supposed to be that guy, and he's not there, so that really hurts them. But, it's a good pass-blocking offensive line. He shouldn't be concerned about anybody getting near him, and yet his eyes come down, and he starts getting out of
there. He looks skittish, doesn't he, at times?
Yeah, I'm mystified by it, to be honest with you. But
I am, too, because I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. But the numbers are what the numbers are. The film doesn't
lie. I still think
lie.
He's going to get it. You know what this reminds me of is like that night in – it's been a little longer, but Brady, there was talk of Brady.
It's been 17 games, Pete. That was one night in Kansas City. This has been 17 games now. 17 they were 6-0 going to Denver. And since that Denver game where they got shellacked and he threw for 77 yards, he has not been the same.
But also, he didn't have Jordy Nelson in those games last year.
That's what I said. I discounted it. He has him this year.
And Jordy Nelson's not the same guy he was before the injury.
Disagree.
He just doesn't run the same.
Okay, but if that's our excuse, then Tom Brady is always better and has been better than Aaron Rodgers forever because Tom Brady does it with a bunch of, Larry, Moe, and Curly.
He's got Gronk.
Well, no, Gronk he does it. He does it with everybody.
Gronk's
it's unreal.
A lot, yeah, when he's not on the field.
Look, Brady's fantastic. I'm not going to argue that, but you're right. There's something going on with Rodgers, and I can't figure out.
I know your problem is, and I'm guilty of it too. We fall in love with Aaron Rodgers' arm. It's just freaky. I mean, it's amazing. And I think we've overlooked that he hasn't played well lately.
No, I wrote about it today. I think he's played
poorly.
Okay,
today. You're a little late to the party. I said this months ago.
Well, you tend to over-exaggerate everything anyways. Matt Ryan's not playing poorly. You would take Matt Ryan over Aaron Rodgers?
Right now, I would. I agree. I think Matt Ryan's playing at a high level.
You know me. I'm a big Matt Ryan guy.
He's playing at a high level, Pete. Just let this tape speak for itself. Watch games. I mean, not enough people watch.
So who are the other ones you take? You take Roethlisberger over him?
Breeze.
Brady.
For sure, those four.
Yeah. And Breeze is still playing at a really high level.
I'll give you one more I'd take. Who is the most underrated guy in the entire NFL?
Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I would too.
That guy.
Wilson?
No, I would not.
Pete would.
You know what's amazing about Wilson?
He's a good player, though.
Wilson won the game yesterday against Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan threw for 340 yards or whatever and three touchdowns against one of the best defenses in the league.
Did they get away with the call at the end? Did Richard Sherman get away with one against
Julio? Yeah, he grabbed
Julio?
Him. He grabbed him.
Yeah.
I
haven't seen it yet. But.
And then Tony, not only that, Wilson makes this play where the back kind of is blocking, and I don't know if you saw it, and he kind of spun out of it. He had two guys near him, and he just dumped it off to him, and the back ran for about 20 yards. All anybody's talking about is that play. It's a weird dynamic with Wilson. It's like anything he does is like, he's good. Let's just say what it is. He's a good quarterback. Anything he does is like.
The what? Russell Wilson apologists are related to the old Tebow apologists.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that critically because I think, Russell Wilson's a better quarterback than Tim Tebow. But this happens with certain players for whatever reason. I don't know why, the dynamic. But there's such a frenzy, and I think it's because if you like that individual and they get pounded on by a majority of people, you become very defensive, and so then everything is over the top and everything is great, and they're never wrong. And I think early in Russell Wilson's career, he had a number of fans, Seahawks fans and everything, and he won. The overall public, like Pete, the general media said, he's not a traditional quarterback, it's the defense, and have been a little bit slower to come on the Russell Wilson bandwagons, but those Russell Wilson apologists, it doesn't matter what he does. He's a great quarterback, and I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback.
I think he's a good quarterback, and I don't think he's a great quarterback.
LeSean McCoy, big day, gave it to Chip Kelly yesterday. The Bills are now 4-2, boys.
You know what? I said this on the award-winning little podcast I do, Tony's Take, West of One.
Still on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. The
it
number
hasn't popped up on my phone. I don't know
record
why.
Number of hits open.
Record?
Record. Set a record. Set a record. Highest ever.
Was it the first time they tracked it?
No. Highest ever. Highest ever. It was huge. But this week, and I'm not sure this week's up yet, I was talking about where I was wrong, which doesn't happen very often. This is the first time I've ever done this on
Tony's
Take.
Shocking.
The Bills were 0-2, and I did that Thursday night game against the Jets, and they fired Greg Roman the next day, and I ripped. The head coach, Rex. Rex Ryan.
Rex.
Ripped him. Said Roman wasn't the issue. It's the defense. They can't stop anyone. It's a joke. They're done. The season's over. They're going nowhere. Since then, Anthony Lynn, I guess Rex saw something because now they're running the ball down everyone's throats. Tyrod Taylor's playing. Supposedly they simplified stuff, and they've gone 4-0 in the last four. Have Miami Dolphins this week. If they win that, they're 5-2 and have a game against the Patriots for the division lead. If you'd have told me that 4 weeks ago, I'd have laughed at you. They're playing good football. And take your hat off to Rex Ryan and his staff and making the move when he did, because obviously whatever it was, whatever button he pushed, worked.
I'm with you. I thought they were dead and done, Tony. I'll be honest with you. I thought that was they were finished, over, done, everything else. There's theory that the owner had some players he met with that he went with, talked to, and that kind of ended up being the impetus to get Roman fired. And I always joke around that what's his name? LeSean McCoy. And if he did it, he's having a hell of a run now that he fired
him. Man, he is on fire.
Yeah, he is.
And the defense is playing better, Pete. The defense that was so bad. And they're getting, they're going to get the Lawson kid from Clemson supposed to come back here soon off PUP.
Well, and they pick up the two free agents, Zach Brown, the former Titan, who can run and fly.
Yep.
Leading. Yeah, and then Lorenzo Alexander's getting a lot of pressures too. So some of the pickups that they had have helped them. So, yeah, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. Rex Ryan turned that thing around. The schedule this week, they go to Miami, which Miami looked good Sunday against Pittsburgh. And then they got like a four-game stretch after that's just brutal. So,
I think we'll know more about them in a month. I would favor them against Miami, and it's a huge. Then becomes a huge AFC East, showdown between them and the Patriots. It'd be very interesting.
Final couple minutes with Pete here, so let's do our AFC South power rankings. Starting with the Texans, who rallied for a win over the Colts. They trailed 13-3 at half and scored 20 in the second half.
How'd they win? I fell asleep. It was 20-6 or whatever it was, and I fall asleep. I wake up this morning, and they won in overtime.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I mean, Osweiler got a little hot. The Colts, blew it. Didn't get first downs. And next thing you know, they're tied up. It was bad, man. He hadn't done anything the whole game, and all of a sudden he started getting hot. That's a bad loss for the Colts. Now they got to go to Tennessee. They got to go to Tennessee this week.
Who's playing good, Pete?
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, Tennessee's playing good. I mean, yeah, they beat up on the Browns and the Dolphins in successive weeks. It's not exactly a who's who of anybody.
Nearly gave it up against the Browns at the end, by the way.
Well, Hugh Jackson made just a bad decision. He cuts the lead. Tony, it's 2:05, I think it was.
Okay.
Cuts the lead to 9.
Okay.
And goes for 2.
To get to 7. That was his idea, right?
But then he gets the onside kick. They go down and score. And they're down 9. They can't go for the two-point.
Wait a second. Pete, let me ask you a question. If he kicks the extra point, they're down by 8.
It's an 8-point game.
You never go for 2 until you have to at the very end.
Right.
It's terrible. Because if you don't make it there, it just happened, the game's over.
It's over.
But if you kick the extra point and you get the onside, now you can go for 2.
Mm. Correct. Bad decision.
All right. All that said.
Give me your power rankings, Pete.
1, Houston. 2, Jacksonville. 3, Tennessee. And 4, Indy.
I'm going to flip them a little bit.
Mm.
I'm going Jags 1.
Oh, God.
Shocker.
Oh, the victory. I mean,
you're wearing a jersey right
Aurelius
now.
Aurelius Ben. I mean, how is he not? I mean, come on. Did you see what Aurelius Ben did?
I saw it.
Again, I mean, we haven't even tapped in to him as part of the weaponry that we have now on offense.
Don't tell anybody.
Well, they're going to see it. I mean, my man, he was out there blocking a little bit before, and now he's ball catching.
Anyway, okay, they're 1.
Actually, in fairness, copy Pete's. That was going to be funny. It's Houston 1. They have 4 wins. I think the Jaguars are better than the Titans. I got the Titans 3rd, and I think the Colts are the worst team in the division. I think they have the worst roster. Mm. They have the best quarterback, but they have the worst roster in the South.
There you have it. The power rankings are in. Pete, have a fantastic show tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
See you, Pete.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports. Check it out. His Monday Musings every Monday morning CBS Sports.
They're amusing.
.com. It's a nice play on words, like Tony. That. Aurelius, excuse me. We're back in a moment. We'll wrap the show after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final few moments of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco's out of here. He's got another program.
I'd like to be referred to as Regis for the rest of the night. Regis.
That's Aurelius Ben's nickname, apparently. It goes back to college in Champaign. We'll do a little digging to see if we can figure out the origin of that nickname.
Maybe he's a big Regis and Kathy Lee fan, that's why.
Well, it would have been Regis and Kelly at his point. Kathy Lee was like 5 years old when they were on
TV. Well, maybe his mom was a big fan, that's why they started calling him Regis.
Possibly. Maybe. We'll see.
You never know. I'm just saying. You never know.
Monday Night Football tonight. Ryan Fitzpatrick leads the league in interceptions. Carson Palmer is back in business off a concussion.
Great
the
draw.
1-4 New York Jets and the 2-3 Arizona Cardinals. Who you got?
I'm sure ESPN's glad you're not doing the promotion for this game. Holy cow. That makes me want to just gouge my eyes out so I don't have to watch it. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. I think the Jets are better than the record. got to get better quarterback play out of Fitzpatrick. That's obvious when you lead the league in interceptions.
That's what I said. He leads the league in interceptions.
I got that part. Thank you. With the music as well. Great front seven, though, against Carson Palmer. That Arizona team is a mystery to me. I think they're more talented.
Yeah.
And should be better than their record is.
Their defense is good. They get a lot of takeaways.
They do, but their offense has been putrid. It's in Arizona, correct?
It is in Arizona.
Great game. I look forward to watching it tonight. I'll be bouncing back and forth between I won't. I'll just be watching that. I was going to say.
Between baseball?
Yeah.
Are you turning into a baseball fan?
No. I actually enjoy baseball. I usually watch the playoffs religiously.
Postseason baseball is fantastic.
I usually watch it religiously. I haven't watched any this year. Zero. Saturday night, I watched UCLA, Washington State. And I watched, before that, what was the night game? Ohio State, Wisconsin.
Ohio State, Wisconsin, great game.
I watched that. Didn't watch any of the Cubbies. And I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
You'd think I'd watch the Cubs, but yeah. I watched college football.
Well, they didn't want to watch the Cubs the second night with Kershaw giving them the
business. I followed
that
online. He was pretty good, take it.
Six innings? Seven innings, one hit.
Yeah. I think it was two hits, no runs.
Either way.
He retired the first 12 batters in a row, 14 batters.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
14 batters.
That's pretty good.
He's a great pitcher. You know what's interesting about Kershaw, though?
Former son, by the way.
Oh, who cares about that?
Okay, great. Good talk.
Oh, our son.
Yes, Jacksonville's son.
Oh, Jacksonville's son.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I was thinking something. I thought,
jerk?
Well, I didn't think of – I should have.
Phoenix. Oh, you thought Phoenix Suns.
Well, because he's with the I forgot that he was with the Dodgers used to be the affiliate. Because I'm thinking the Marlins are our affiliate now,
they
right?
They are. That's correct.
So, I'm like, he never played with the Marlins.
2 years.
So I apologize to all our sons.
07 and 08.
Really? Were you here when that happened?
Here.
Was he dominant?
He was. Dominant. I drove him to the airport the first time I went to the big leagues. We were in Raleigh. Yeah.
He probably has no idea who you are, though.
No, he does, yeah. Good guy.
So if you called him right now and said,
I'm not going to call him right now. It's the playoffs.
Can I get some tickets to the next playoff game? He'd be like, sure, JP.
No, not doing that. No. Either way.
But he has not been very good in the playoffs historically. He has struggled. He's a big, high ERA. That's what I know about baseball.
True.
But he was dominant last night. But I'm going to watch the football game tonight. I'm going to watch I'm looking forward to it. Carson Palmer, fellow Trojan alumnus. Hope he gets it back on track. And I expect the Arizona Cardinals to win, but I think it's going to be a very close game because the Jets' defense is the real deal, especially up front.
We'll get your Stone Cold Lock of the Week Thursday.
Thursday night. Tune in. I'll be in Green Bay at Lambeau calling in and getting ready for the Bears-Packers game.
The Frozen Tundra. For Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli, our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.